Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scouts. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on social media at FPL General. Game Week 26 is in the books, and we're looking ahead to Game Week 27 this weekend, with a full round of matches scheduled. We had the FA Cup games midweek, so we now know the confirmed fixtures for blank Game Week 29. There will only be four fixtures that week, which will be Burnley v Brentford, Luton versus Nottingham Forest, Fulham against Tottenham, and West Ham versus Aston Villa. It's going to be a tricky one to navigate. We need to decide whether to use transfers to prepare for it or deploy the free hit chip that week. As always, it will depend on your current team setup and whether you have the free hit chip available, of course. Some will even wildcard this week or next week. Now that we've got more information, I've been considering the wildcard myself this week. It's not been activated. I don't think it will be, but I'll talk about it more later in the episodes. The deadline this weekend is Saturday afternoon, 1:30 p.m. UK time, 90 minutes before the 3 p.m. matches kick off. The running order for today's episode, usual structure, quick review of the game week, a look at the player minutes, a watchlist update, player stats, listener questions, captaincy and potential transfers for Game Week 27. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening for future episodes, and give it a 5-star review if you get a chance, as it helps to get the podcast out there more. A quick review of Game Week 26. It was not a good game week. Only ended up on 45 points after the first minus 8 of the season. Rank went from 51k to 77k. So I was looking back at my season, I think around Game Week 16, I was about 66k. So I really haven't moved much, which I guess I'm feeling a bit negative about. But again, I think maintaining rank is probably an achievement in itself in this game. So if you offered me 77k going into Game Week 27, of course I would have taken that at the start of the season. And I've still got that goal of top 50k, so I'm very close to that. The team, the transfers were three transfers for a minus 8. Gusto, Jota and Darwin all left the squad. Pau Torres came in and played 45 minutes. Huang came in and blanked and is now injured. Watkins, the only bright spark there in terms of transfers. Good to have him back and good to get a 9-pointer. Captain Haaland for 10. Solanke blanked and he's also flagged. Foden came through with 11 points. Blanks in midfield for Huang, Garnacho, but Saka continued to deliver. Big debate on captaincy this week. Is it Saka, is it Haaland, or is it someone else? We'll cover that later. And as usual, absolutely nothing from defence. The double Arsenal clean sheet late wipeout by Joe Willock was not fun. Gabriel and David Raya here. Pau Torres with 1-pointer and Estupinan also with the 1-pointer. The trip to De Zerbi's house for some pasta was a false dawn and he was on the bench again. I benched De Bruyne for Solanke in the end with the team leaks before the deadline. If you've got the information, you're always going to act, of course. That one gained me 2 points, so I suppose I should thank the leakers. Not that that's something I want to do. Areola on the bench as well, and then Pedro Porro, who I've kept and I'm hoping might be available soon, and Amari Bell's on the bench as well, and Amari Bell's even managed to pick up a flag now as well. So the team's looking a bit like the open ceremony at the Olympics with all these flags. And that's why there's wildcard temptation, because my defence is a bit of a mess. But if it can clear itself up before the weekend, you know, for example, if Pau Torres could be available, if Pedro Porro, if there was a positive update there. And I think Lamptey's got a hamstring tweak now, so maybe that increases the chances of a Stupinen actually starting a game. That would allow me maybe to make a transfer elsewhere in the squad. So monitoring very closely the injury situation of all players. And of course, Hwang might need to be sold straight away. In terms of the player minutes, it was pointed out to me after last week's episode that a player had slipped through the 59th minute net when I was doing it in the previous episode. So a week late, but we welcome Trusty from Sheffield United to the 59th minute club. That was from Gimme 25. He almost got away with it, but some eagle-eyed listeners didn't miss that one. The reason I missed it was he came off the bench in Gimme 25 around the 30-minute mark, and that's why he played 59 minutes. So almost made it through, but thankfully we caught him just in time. In terms of the Gimme 26 minutes, we welcome Igor from Brighton to the 59th minute club. His teammates were very lucky. I presume this was a triple substitution, but Welbeck and Lamptey both got 60 minutes on the FPL app, whereas Igor was unlucky. Welbeck already in the 59th minute club, so almost a second shout out of the season there. Pervis Stupinen only got 30 minutes. At Aston Villa, Alex Moreno was very lucky not to get a shout-out. 58 minutes for a minus one. 2 goals conceded and a yellow card. At Manchester City, 0 minutes for Kyle Walker. 6 minutes for Kevin De Bruyne. How frustrating has he been? Lots of questions on him later. And Alvarez only got 15 minutes as well. Elsewhere, there was 45-minute appearances for Pau Torres and then 3 Nottingham Forest players substituted at half-time, Awoniyi, Murillo and Felipe. Elsewhere, Ben Mee at Brentford just about made it to 60, and Isak at Newcastle only played 63 minutes against Arsenal, as he seems to be continuing to manage an injury issue. As always, keep an eye on those clocks in game week 27. Quick watch list update ahead of the weekend. 3 players removed, 2 of them because of injury. Hoyland at Manchester United and Mitoma at Brighton. So the Mitoma injury maybe makes players like Adingra more attractive. I know Enciso's back in the picture now as well, but I expect his minutes to be managed as he recovers from a long-term injury. I've also removed Matty Cash from the watch list because I already own Pau Torres. And I don't see myself doubling up on the Villa defence. I also don't see myself making a sideways switch from Torres to Cash if there remains to be issues with Pau this weekend. But that's the reasons why Cash is gone. Also, Konsa seems to be back in training, which I don't like for Matty Cash. Players added, Virgil van Dijk, who's found some goal-scoring form recently in the league and the cups. If we're not going to be spending money on Trent Alexander-Arnold because of the emergence of Bradley as a viable alternative for Klopp, then Van Dijk becomes more of an option. I still think with his price tag, it's going to be hard to get there because we're going to probably want Salah down the line. Son's very attractive. Fitting these in with Haaland and Saka and Watkins is not easy. So all of those players mentioned mean it's very hard to get a player like Virgil Van Dijk, but he's on the watch list anyway, as is Leon Bailey. He probably should have been there beforehand. I'm sure he was probably there earlier in the season. That was only the second time this season that Bailey played 90 minutes. If we got more of that, I think he'd be in a lot more teams and people would opt for him over Douglas Luiz. In my book, it's still a very, very close call between Bailey and Douglas Luiz. Bailey feels more exciting, maybe more upside potential, but Douglas Luiz is a steady Eddie. Crazy good for bonus points. You know, any attack in return, he's getting 2, if not 3, bonus points in most cases. So it's still a close call. And of course, Luiz has the penalties as well. But I feel like if I was making the decision this week, if I did wildcard, for example, and I was going for a Villa midfielder, I would really struggle on that decision. And I think I'd probably end up being stubborn and not get Louise because I was close to getting him over Huang last week, like I'm sure many of you were as well. So maybe Bailey, now he's gotten the 90 minutes, just having such a good season. There was a statistic on Match of the Day at the weekend that said, in terms of, I think it was goals, minutes per goal or assist this season, Leon Bailey's third in the league. I think it was 84 minutes per goal or assist behind Salah and Erling Haaland. So when he's on the pitch, he is very, very explosive. Also added to the watch list, Jarrod Bowen. He blanked 5 or 6 games in a row, and then he pops up with a hat-trick. Very frustrating. I brought him in the Game Week 20 wildcard. I think I got 4 blanks out of him and sold him. So that wasn't fun seeing him do that. But again, it was viable not to have him. A player who's blanking 4 or 5 times, playing for a team that were struggling, well, it was obviously a sell, but certainly back on the watch list now, as is Sarabia. Typical FPL, everyone buys Huang or Neto, very few buy Sarabia, and he is the one that delivers. So Van Dijk, Bailey, Bowen and Sarabia join the watch list. A few stats now from Game Week 26 that caught my eye from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Defenders up first, Emerson at West Ham, 4 chances created. His teammate Soufal also created 3 chances. I still don't really like West Ham defenders FPL though, for FPL, just in terms of clean sheets. Harry Maguire had 4 goal attempts, but I think he did miss the cup game and he is yellow flagged at the moment. Lewis Dunk had 3 goal attempts, of course, both of those players on the score sheet. Pascal Gross, 6 chances created. He just continues to perform very, very well across various fantasy platforms this season. Also, Phil Foden and Declan Rice created 4 chances, so Rice's creativity numbers have certainly increased in recent times. I still wouldn't put him in the top 3 Arsenal picks though. Adingra had 5 shots in the box. Pretty sure he had similar the week before as well from memory. Sarabia had 5 goal attempts, 4 of them from inside the box. Neto had just 2 goal attempts and Hwang Hee-chan 0 goal attempts registered when we needed him most. Saka, Bailey, Bowen and McAtee all had 3 shots in the box. Saka's a great long-term hold. Bailey, I mentioned earlier. Bowen back in the picture. And McAtee always impresses when I watch Sheffield United as a cheap enabler. Maybe for a bench boost at some point down the line, McAtee could be used for that. In terms of midfielders, Leon Bailey was first for expected goal involvement in the game week with 1.71. Solanke created 2 chances, and that's what I like about Solanke. It's not just goals, he links the play well, and he's always got the chance of assists, much like Ollie Watkins. Hopefully his injury is not serious and he's back. If not this weekend, hopefully he's back for the double game week the week after. Muniz continues to impress at Fulham as well. Another 5 shots in the box against Manchester United. Watkins registered 4 shots in the box. And Erling Haaland had 3 big chances, so really should have had a couple of goals in that game. Before I answer the many listener questions about the doubles and the schedule and everything else, a quick mention for my Patreon. Patreon is my full-time job. I've been running a free trial for the month of February. If you sign up in February, then you're for a monthly subscription, you get your first payment refunded, so you get a free month, and then you can decide within the 30 days whether you want to stay on or not, or you can just cancel free of charge. So I know today, I'm recording on Thursday, this is the last day of February, but what I will do is I'll just let that free trial offer run until the deadline on Saturday. So what's that? The 2nd of March, you've still got until the deadline, the Game Week 27 deadline. If you sign up for my Patreon before that, a monthly subscription, I will refund your first pledge. So check that out at patreon.com/FPL General. Right, time to get into the nitty-gritty of the questions. First one from FPL Braveheart. If you have him and have an eye on Game Week 29, blank Game Week 29 that is, does Kevin De Bruyne stay after his cup heroics, or is it fine to move to the likes of Heung-Min Son? I put this question right at the top because it's top of my mind this week. If I don't wildcard, I was eyeing up a move from De Bruyne to Son this week. Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne's been very frustrating, hasn't been getting the minutes. I think he got 6 minutes in total over the last two games. He also doesn't have a game in Game Week 29, whereas Tottenham do. So I do like the De Bruyne to Son switch this week if it's a free transfer. I've obviously got a lot of possible defensive issues that I might need to deal with. I've now got a Hwang issue to deal with, but I still think there's a good chance I will make the move this week. De Bruyne to Son. Yes, De Bruyne scored, you know, got 4 assists in the FA Cup, but I still worry about his minutes longer term. There's some big games coming up which I expect him to start, but I don't expect him to play 90 in every one of them. And Son's obviously got the extra fixture in 29 as well over the next couple of game weeks. There's actually a few rumours kicking about a possible Richarlison injury. Now, could very much be just rumours. I have not seen anything concrete, so don't act on this information until you do your own research on that or we hear from Postecoglou on Friday. But if there was an issue with Richarlison, we're probably going to see Heung-Min Son through the middle again. And we might see him through the middle regardless, and probably on penalties as well. And we just know with Son, he'll play close to 90 minutes in almost every fixture. So I've got some personal reasons for this transfer as well. It's the stars seem to be aligning, and I feel like I need to make this transfer because my little boy Sonny, it's his first birthday on Saturday and Tottenham play on Saturday. I was thinking about making the move from De Bruyne to Son this week anyway, so I feel like the FPL gods have just, all the stars are aligning, and that's part of the reason why I might end up making the move. Is it okay to keep De Bruyne? Absolutely. I expect him to start against Manchester United. He probably delivers against Manchester United. And when you've got Haaland up front, I feel like De Bruyne and Haaland almost come as a pair these days because very often De Bruyne is assisting the Norwegian. So if I didn't have my personal reasons, I'd probably be more inclined to keep De Bruyne now. But for everything else mentioned beforehand, I think there's a very good chance I'll still get Son in this week. And it might even be part of a -4. You know, something I've looked at, which I'll talk about later, is, you know, Hwang might need to go. And obviously I can't go Hwang to Son because of financial reasons. So maybe Hwang and De Bruyne go. And I might even get 2 Tottenham midfielders in. I could get Richarlison if there's no injury. Or failing that, I like Madison as a pick as well. So I like double Tottenham attack for the next couple of weeks. Obviously they've got the Game Week 29 fixture, but more importantly, I like the fixtures around Game Week 29 as well. I think from 27 to 32, Tottenham have a nice run. So I'm very much interested in Postecoglou's players this week, and De Bruyne may go. Question from FPL Tom. Surely a Game Week 29 free hit is now unavoidable for those with 4 players or fewer in their current squads. I think that's the natural reaction from a lot of people. If you've only got 3 or 4 players, that free hit makes the most sense. And for a lot of teams, it will make sense. Now, before I get into any of these questions about free hits, not free hits, wildcards, do what's right for your team. Something will probably emerge that a lot of content creators follow. Doesn't mean you need to follow it. Zig when others zag. There's opportunity when a lot of people do one thing for you to do the other thing. I think back to last week, 90% of people went for Hwang. Those who went for Douglas Luiz got a massive swing. So, you know, what content creators do is not, it's very often not the right thing. So make sure you're not overdoing it with content around the blanks and doubles, and make sure you're focusing on your team. Do what feels right for you. You might wildcard now, you might wildcard later. You might free hit in 29, you might free hit in 34. You might bench boost in a double game week, you might bench boost in a single game week. It doesn't matter. You might triple captain Solanke 28. You might keep your triple captain for later if you still have it. So don't fall into the trap of, you know, following the herd basically, because I'm sure certain chip strategies will emerge. Now the good thing is there does seem to be quite a few different ones that you can follow. So hopefully that does play out. But getting into the questions, if you only have, let's say you do only have 4 players right now for Game Week 29. You've got 3 free transfers before then. You might even have 4 if you've saved one recently. So that can get you to 7. Now, of course, the other thing is people always say, how many players do you need for a blank game week? And you can't put a number on it because it depends who the players are. You know, you could have 4 players for blank Game Week 29, but 3 of them could be Luton players. And you don't have Watkins, you don't have Tottenham attackers. So be careful with people saying how many numbers you need as well, because more importantly, it's who you need, not how many. You could have 4 players who are Watkins, Tony, Son, and Madison. those four players could be better than someone else who's got eight players from Luton, Forest and Burnley, for example. So keep that in mind as well. So team dependent. My overall feeling about Game Week 29 is most people have a few, at least, already, three or four. We've got free transfers between now and then. And it doesn't feel like a case of you're just buying players for Game Week 29, which we fall into the trap of in previous seasons. Tottenham players, for example, I really like their fixture this week. I'm pretty sure the likes of Tottenham, Villa have very good fixtures in Game Week 30 as well. So you're not just having tunnel vision for a blank game week. You're also hoping to get points beforehand and afterwards as well. So in terms of the free hit chip, I would like to avoid using it if I can. And I don't mind only having 6, 7, 8 players. As long as I've got the key players, I've got a good captain and I've got Tottenham attackers. I'll talk about the key assets shortly. That actually brings me on to the next question. John Hyde says, I'm not planning to free hit in 29, but who are the key players to own that game week? I'm looking at having 6 players without taking hits, so I can potentially get 7 or 8 if I take a couple of hits. And that's the other thing. Hits are absolutely fine over the next few weeks. If, for example, you still have your wild card and you don't want to use it until game week 30 or 31, take a few hits over the next few weeks to make your squad stronger. Good chance you'll get those points back and more. Even if you don't have your wildcard available, you're certainly going to want to take a few hits over the next few weeks. So if you're someone who doesn't like -4s, -8s, maybe even -12s, there's going to be logical hits to be taken over the next few weeks. And that's coming from someone who avoids hits as much as possible. If I don't wildcard until 30 or 31, I'm almost definitely going to end up taking a -4 this week. I'll probably end up taking a -4 at least in Game Week 29 as well. So just get comfortable with those -4s. John says, who are the key players to own for 29 if you're not free hitting? So the players you want to land on, Watkins, of course. Tottenham attackers. I would probably say 2 Tottenham attackers. But of course, keep an eye on that Richarlison situation. So Heung-Min Son's an obvious one. I really like Madison as well. Ivan Toney, ideally, would be in a Game Week 29 squad because Brentford play Burnley, I think it is, off the top of my head. I really should have a fixture ticker near me, but Toney has a good fixture anyway in 29, and we know what he's capable of. And I think Alfie Doughty is not just great for 29, he's great for 28 as well because he's got the double in 28 and he plays in 29. So I think if you're making a defensive transfer, maybe not this week because he plays Villa, but you could still do it for that and hope he gets an attack in return. But you probably do want to own Doughty for 28 and 29. I know I do. And he's just, he can become a bench option after that as well. So key players, Watkins, at least one attacker, if not 2 from Tottenham. So that's 3. Toney would be 4 and Doughty would be 5. And then basically it's what you want to do with the rest of it. Do you want 6, 7 players? Do you want 8 or 9 players? Totally up to you. So those are the players I would be targeting. Question from Alex Ball. Alex says, I am free hitting in Game Week 29. I'm thinking of taking a -8, which would mean saving the wild card until 31, 32, or 33. Is a -8 that sets me up with 3 doublers, I presume that's for 28, Son, Salah, Haaland, plus the usual suspects, too much? So is a -8 too much if it allows you to hold the wild card till later? Absolutely not. To me, -8 is going to be, 2 -4s over the next 3 weeks is going to be pretty standard, I think, across most squads. So -8, absolutely fine. Alex mentioned Salah. I'll come back to him. There's another question coming up about him. Again, just on the free hit, I don't think, I tried to say this, but I didn't say it because I started rambling. I would like to keep it for later, if possible. I like the idea more of free hit in Game Week 34. Which is going to be a double game week. There could even be some blanks in that one. So that could be quite a chaotic game week to navigate. So I've kind of had this feeling for a few weeks that rather than playing a kind of defensive free hit in a blank game week, it just feels more exciting to play a more attacking free hit in a double game week later, whether it be 34, maybe even 37. So that's where I'm at. My team's not in great shape at the moment for 29. I would need a few injuries to clear up. Pau Torres, for example, Pedro Porro, even Amari Bell as a Luton player who now has a flag. If they could all clear up, I could probably get to 7 or 8 players. A couple of hits, I could get to 9 or 10. But again, talk about that more when I get to the transfer section. Question from Miles Lambert. With only 4 fixtures in Game Week 29, I can't see many points on offer, which kind of puts me off the free hit. I see greater upside target and larger doubles. Am I missing something? So this is the beauty of FPL at the moment. There's 4 questions and there's 4 very different approaches and feelings about blank Game Week 29 and beyond. Some people think there will be points to be got in 29. Others think it'll be a disastrous game week and they'll just get through it with a few players and the key guys, like I mentioned. The other thing I'm looking at those fixtures in 29, where are the clean sheets coming from? I don't see too many that you can bank on. Even Brentford playing Burnley. Brentford have not been, watertight at the back in recent times. So that's another reason why I'm not overly keen on free hitting 29, because I feel like it'll probably be like most game weeks recently where there's not too many clean sheets and maybe you can get more later with a free hit down the line. So I'm with Miles. I don't really see it as being a high scoring game week. And even if it is a high scoring game week, it's probably going to be from the players that you can get to with a few transfers and a few hits over the next couple of weeks. Even those, I'm just thinking about wildcarders as well. If you wildcard in 27 this week, or if you wildcard in 28, I think it makes sense not to free hit in 29 if you're wildcarding, because you're playing your wildcard for the long term, but you can set it up that you're covered in 29. It doesn't mean you need to have 11 players. Don't fall into the trap of wildcarding and thinking, because I'm wildcarding, I need 11 players in 29. Doesn't matter if you still have 8 or 9 like most other players. But certainly, I think it just, in very simple terms, if you're wildcarding now or in 28, it should help you to keep the free hit for later if you still have it. Question from Andrew Sands. Given how the last double game week panned out, unless Solanke's available, is it really worth risking buying Bournemouth/Luton assets? Would it make more sense using these transfers for the best assets in Game Week 29 instead? Yeah, I think I'm with Andrew here. I am certainly not going to be going out of my way to load up on Bournemouth and Luton players with my free transfers. Now, maybe I would do it if I was wildcarding in 27 or 28, but even then, it would be unlikely that I would have triple ups from both teams. I think Solanke is the most important if he's fit. That's the big question mark. Doughty, I think, is a great pick for 28 and 29. But aside from those two, I don't really have much interest. And that might be my only 2 double game week players. I think the key sentence here, which Andrew says, would it not make more sense to use those free transfers to bring in the best picks for game week 29 instead? That's where I'm at. Get your Tottenham attackers now. Get Ollie Watkins now if you don't have him. I think that's the best way to play it. So absolutely, focus on good players from good teams rather than bad players from bad teams who have an extra fixture. Question from All Filler No Killer. I have no Bournemouth players for their good run of fixtures and only 1 free transfer. Is it worth taking a -8 to bring in Neto, Senesi and Solanke, or have I been blinded by the double game week? Yeah, I would take off those double game week goggles, Phil. Absolutely, wait for news on Solanke. If he's fine, you do need to get him in for game week 28, but that transfer could wait a game week, just so you're sure on his fitness. Senesi's fine, Neto's fine, but again, I don't think we need to go and take hits for these players. When it's these kind of teams, very often, it's 2-pointers in both games. You get your 4 points, but you're not really gaining much if you're taking those -4s. Question from Jossel. With the Solanke news and the Darwin blank coming up, who's the best third striker option? Currently own Haaland and Watkins. Yeah, so I'm on the Haaland, Watkins, Solanke triple up like a lot of people are. If we get news that Solanke misses a couple of weeks, then where do we go? Obviously, we could switch to 3-5-2. I like Carlton Morris as a differential for Luton in 28 and 29, similar reasons to Alfie Doughty. And of course, Ivan Toney is a very attractive option as well. So I think it is between Toney and Morris for me if I needed to sell Solanke. But hopefully Big Dom will be fine. Question from FPL Brooklyn. Was Salah not even making the bench in the FA Cup? Is he an avoid until after the blank? So if we look at Liverpool's fixtures and we keep Salah in mind, it's Nottingham Forest this week, then it's Manchester City, then it's a blank. And then when we get to game week 30, Brighton at home, Sheffield United at home. So for me, Salah is not in my thoughts until around game week 30. I don't mind not having him for the City game, then he blanks, but I would like to have him for Brighton in 30, or failing that, definitely Sheffield United in 31. So for me, I've noted down here, Salah's a wildcard pick if you're wildcarding 30 or 31. I don't think we need him before then. Question from Navishka. Is Jared Bowen back in contention considering the Hammers play in 29 and that Paqueta is back in the play in 11? Yeah, I think Paqueta is the biggest factor. I don't think he was directly involved in the assists, but he just makes West Ham so much better. And Bowen is a better prospect when Paqueta is in the team. Six blanks in a row, then a hat-trick. Fixtures for West Ham are decent as well. They've got Everton away this week, that's fine. Then Burnley at home in 28 is very attractive. They play at home to Villa in 29. Villa don't keep too many clean sheets. Newcastle away and then Tottenham at home. So you might think not great, but neither of those teams keep clean sheets these days either. So again, I'm probably not going to go to Bowen with a free transfer. I'm probably going to prioritise Tottenham midfielders instead. But if I was wildcarding this week, Bowen would probably make it in, or at least he'd have a very good chance of making it in alongside some Tottenham midfielders. But again, it's hard because Saka's in there, Foden's in there, you know, Palmer would be fighting to come back in. We don't really have enough midfield positions for the good options that are out there. But I've been a fan of Bowen all season. I've owned him a lot. I didn't like missing the hat-trick, but again, I also didn't enjoy the four blanks before that when I owned him. So back on the radar, absolutely, and I wouldn't stop anybody from going there. You could even go there over a Tottenham attacker if you feel strongly about Bowen for the long term. Given their high... I forgot to note down who asked this question. It says, given their high ownership, with Saliba at 39% and Gabriel at 26%, how important is it to have double Arsenal defence, bearing in mind a clean sheet is only one late Willock goal away from being wiped out? I wouldn't say you must have double Arsenal defence, because I do think you should own Saka. And there's a few other attackers kind of putting their hands up now. Even Havertz is putting his hand up for inclusion. Odegaard's looked better FPL-wise in recent game weeks as well. But I do think, you know, when you think of teams that are capable of keeping clean sheets this season, it is, you know, Arsenal do come to mind first. I'm on Gabriel and David Raya, and I'm quite comfortable about that. But, I mean, I say I'm comfortable about that, I still feel like I'm exposed a wee bit to Saliba. Because we know David Raya's ceiling probably is 6 or 7 points. Unless he saves a penalty, whereas Saliba, like Gabriel, can score from these set pieces in any game week. And Saliba probably better for bonus than David Raya as well. So if I had a clean slate this week, wild card, I'd probably be Gabriel, Saliba, Saka, and I would go for a different goalkeeper. But I would say double Arsenal defence still, for the next couple of game weeks, certainly makes sense. There is a City game coming up soon. They do blank at 29 as well, of course, so keep all that in mind. Final question from FPL Just Brill. Who are the best Estupinan replacements? I'm hoping the best Estupinan replacement is just himself. If there's issues with Lamptey, I'm hoping Estupinan gets back in the team, but I still think I'll end up selling him. It probably won't be this week because I've got Huang to deal with. Might make the De Bruyne to Son move. Estupinan to Doughty gave me 28. Just makes sense to me. I don't really want Doughty for the Villa fixture because I don't see a clean sheet, but then I like him in 28 or 29. So Doughty is probably my number one pick. Other options, the Tottenham fixtures, like I said, are good from 27 to 32. So you could go with Stupman into a Doggy or a Poro if he's fit and you've got the cash. Even Van de Ven, I think, is only 4.4. Now, I know there's not many clean sheets there, but the fixtures are good. So the clean sheets could come. So I don't mind Van de Ven to free up a bit of cash. But certainly I prefer Doughty over the Tottenham guys. Elsewhere, Villa have decent fixtures in 27, 29 and 30. You could go Gabriel from Arsenal despite the blank game week. Senesi, the thing about Senesi is he's on 8 yellows. So if he gets booked, if Senesi gets booked in game week 27 and the first game of the double, he would miss the second game of double. Now, I think that's unlikely that he gets back-to-back yellows, but he does have 8 for the season. Senesi's an option. Yeah, I wouldn't let the yellows put you off on that one. And I've added Reguilon here as well. But looking at the fixtures, aside from Game Week 29, Reguilon and Brentford's fixtures are not great. So that's why I like Tony for 29, but not beforehand. So that is questions covered. We'll move on to captaincy and transfers. Plenty of captaincy candidates this week with lots of good matchups. Bukayo Saka away to Sheffield United. I think that would have been a lot more popular if Erling Haaland hadn't have scored 5 goals midweek. Haaland will be my captain, and I think he'll be very highly captained at home to Manchester United. If you don't have Haaland, you want to do something different, De Bruyne, I think, starts this one, and he could be a candidate. You've got Phil Foden there as well, but I prefer Saka as a captain over De Bruyne or Foden. So Haaland number one, Saka number two. If Solanke was fit, good fixture away to Burnley, but probably can't go there because of the question marks. Watkins is away to Luton. Tottenham guys are at home to Palace. Palmer's away to Brentford. So there's lots of good fixtures here for captaincy, but I still think it's Haaland versus Saka, and I'm going to go for Erling Haaland. Elsewhere, Liverpool are away to Forest. If any of those front guys were fit, you could go there. And Jared Bowen is away to Everton, which is not a crazy shout either. But yeah, Haaland captain, Saka vice-captain is my plan. The bus team, before any transfers have been made, I need to rename my team Flag FC for this game week. David Raya and Gabriel double up. Pau Torres with a flag, Pedro Porro with a flag. Midfield of Saka, De Bruyne, Foden and Hwang with a flag. Erling Haaland captain, Ollie Watkins and the flagged Dominic Solanke. On the bench, Areola, Garnacho who plays City, Stupinen who may or may not play, and Amari Bell, who also has a flag. So it doesn't look great when you look at all those flags, but some of those will probably clear up before the weekend and things will be looking better. I'm expecting at least one or two positive updates on some of those guys. I'm hoping that I don't need to make a transfer in defence, because I think I would like to get Son. And if I do that, I'm probably going to sell Hwang as well, and maybe get Madison or Richarlison. So double up on the Tottenham attack for the next 3, 4, 5 game weeks before the wild card. So I'm leaning towards not wild carding. I've got one free transfer, 1.4 million in the bank. I mentioned I don't want to make a defensive transfer. If I'm forced into it, I'll probably just bring the Doughty transfer a week forward. And maybe, you know, if one of my players gets ruled out for a couple of weeks, I would sell them instead of a Stupinen, for example. De Bruyne to Son is very possible, and I would say likely at this stage. I mentioned the double move in midfield for a -4 and just ignore the defence and hope it sorts itself out. Or, I mean, who cares about defence anyway is my approach, maybe, because there's not many clean sheets. And even if I did only have 2 defenders starting this week, it's probably not going to make a huge difference. I'm 0.1 million short for Hwang to Richarlison. So I could, if I had a bit more cash, I could have just kept De Bruyne and done Hwang to Richarlison if I had 0.1 more. Richarlison's actually quite close to a price drop, but I don't think that will happen now because people are going to start buying him, I would imagine, if there's no fitness concerns. So a loose plan would be, I think most likely this stage is no wild card. Wild card around game week 30 or 31. This week, De Bruyne to Son and probably Hwang to Madison or Richarlison. And then Gimme 28, Stupinen goes for Alfie Doughty. Gimme 29 then, the blank Gimme itself. I think it would be Ivan Toney would probably come in for either Solanke or maybe even Erling Haaland, because if you've got a wildcard available, I think you can sell Haaland in 29. I think it's Arsenal in game week 30. So you could wildcard in 30 and get him back, or avoid him for the Arsenal game and get him in 31 on the wildcard. For example, if you sell Haaland instead of Solanke for Ivan Toney in 29, it frees up a lot more cash for a -4 for something else. For example, getting a third Tottenham attacker. So that's a loose plan. Of course, it could change, but as long as the injury updates are not too severe for my squad, and if I can get through this game week with a -4, I think that will be me. And currently not planning to free hit in game week 29. But like I said, do your own thing, do what's right for your squad, and yeah, have fun with it. That's the main thing. Don't stress. This can be a stressful time for an FPL manager, but remember, this is a game. Make sure real life comes first and don't spend too much time going down rabbit holes of content, etc., etc. What else do my notes say here? Wild card, covered that. Free hit, covered that. Yeah, ideally I want a free hit in game week 34, I think, and I'm very open to taking a few hits beforehand. So I think I've covered everything. Hopefully you found this useful, folks. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Happy planning. Best of luck this weekend. I'll talk to you again next week to look back on the action and look ahead to game week 28. Check out the Patreon free trial. If you're not interested in that, you can just simply buy me a coffee to say thank you for the podcast at buymeacoffee.com/FPL General. Anyone who buys me a coffee also gets an invite to my Discord server. Talk to you soon, folks, and have a great weekend. Sports Social Podcast Network.